It is Stain Gang Podcast again as winter has arrived here in Wichita Falls. Hopefully, Midwestern Center will be able to make the trip to Port Towns. Do you anticipate any trouble making that trip with the weather we've been having?
Well, you know, I don't think so. However, one thing that I know you can't count on is the weather. So at this moment, no, we're not anticipating anything fouling us up. However, you know, we're prepared for anything.
Yeah. Is there a conference standard, a procedure that you go through under these circumstances?
I mean, it's the institutions have to work together to make it happen. You know, so, you know, maybe heaven forbid, you know, you can't make a game. You find yourself in a situation where, I mean, for example, last year, going out to the Lubbock Christian Eastern New Mexico road trip, we just had to leave a day early to beat the weather. Sometimes you might go a day later and drive the day of if the day before is going to be clear,
right?
Or, you know, if all else fails in terms of travel, then maybe you have to switch the dates of the games, you know, Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Monday. I don't know. That's at the administrative level.
Yeah, which in this case you would have to get two schools to cooperate.
That's
right?
Correct. That's so. Correct. But it's affecting us and Cameron.
Yeah.
You know, with the travel partners there. So, you know, we'll all stay connected and do what we need to do in order to make sure we're looking out for the best interest of our kids, but also getting the games in.
Well, let's talk about this past weekend when we didn't have any trouble getting the games in.
Absolutely.
I want to go backwards here and talk about the West Texas game because that's more fun. I went back and watched the game again last night and just played lights out. It's without Luke in the lineup, and you've got Jared Washington playing well for you, Mason Gibson playing for you, guys stepping up in those complimentary roles, mm-hmm. But Pierre Sanders had the game of his career. But I got a feeling we're going to see more of that from Pierre Sanders because he's still got a lot of time here at Midwestern State.
Yeah, no question. No question. I mean, it was a very good team performance. And you know, it's probably sound like a broken record on this podcast with you, but, you know, basketball, a lot of it comes down to just making shots or not. And,
you know, I love it when you say that, though, because sometimes I end up saying that on the broadcast. I'm like, man, you can't sound any dumber than that.
Yeah, well.
But it is true, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. You think even the best shooters are 50%, you know, great shooters from three or 40%. And sometimes, you know, you can defy those odds a little bit and just put in a really efficient performance. And
I didn't mean to make it sound like you're saying something dumb.
You
have a great basketball mind. Well, so when you say it, it makes me feel better about saying
no
it.
No question. But it was. We made some shots that got things rolling a little bit. And West Texas is a very different team when you're playing from ahead versus behind. They're going to continue to score and put pressure on you. That's who they are. That's what they do. I mean, even when we got the big lead, like, you know, are there a few places where I think the officials helped them? Absolutely. You know, we had the world's fastest 5-second call for a turnover.
That's exactly how Dr. Greg Giddens described it on our broadcast, by the way.
I had four Lone Star coaches text me about that. Okay, that watch the game after the fact. On Sundays, it's kind of funny. I mean, we'll all watch film afterwards because, you know, you watch your own game.
Yeah, right.
You watch your opponents. You watch other games, maybe upcoming. And so, you know, it's a pretty small circle in the coaching fraternity there. But I literally had four coaches comment about that 5-second call during. And so, but regardless, West Texas, they're going to keep pushing you, keep putting pressure on you to score. And from the lead, it's just a whole different – you know, way to play. And it was a lot of fun to see different guys step up and have a great performance. And the crowd was wonderful. It was great to have some energy in the Coliseum. And as a result, we had a great victory.
So let me ask you before I get too far away from it, what's the status on Luke? Was that a one-off? Is he done for the year?
No. He took a hit on Thursday, and, you know, we're just kind of playing it as he can go. I mean, it's you know, he's a little bit tender in that leg, and
so we're going to list him as questionable. Is that fair?
Sure, I think that's a good label for it. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, he's out there, but as I told the guys before the game, this is an opportunity for different players to step in. It's an opportunity to go out there and step through, you know, an open door you know, as I phrased it to them ahead of time. And we had several of the young guys that gave great contributions on Saturday, and we need to keep that up going forward.
The reason I'm asking about Luke is I was looking back at the Eastern New Mexico game when they came here. Mm-hmm. He had the best plus minus in that game. He was plus seven in that game. So if he's not able to play on Thursday against Eastern New Mexico, he will be sorely missed.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, because Eastern's huge.
Right. And he's 6'8".
Yeah, and they're committed to always playing a true big five man. They've got 2 6'9" players, and one of the two is always on the floor. And they're going to lean on you. They're going to take away rotations just with that size. And so having someone like Luke who's able to push back and be that other body is important.
Can you beat Eastern New Mexico with the way you played Saturday against West Texas?
Yeah, we scored 92 points, man. I think we can beat anybody.
I guess that's kind of the crux. Like, can you score 90 points against these guys? Because the last game was combined, you scored 103 points last time.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm betting on you. If you scored 90 Thursday, I'm betting on you.
Yeah, I would certainly like our chances if we get over 90 points. But yeah, no, we absolutely can. It's just going to have to look different. It's just how it goes. I mean, once again, we'll have to have different people step up if he's limited in some way. But at the same time, I mean, we're prepared to go out there and compete and play however we need to. I mean, there's no nights off, no rest for the weary there. I mean, you're just going to have to go out there, compete, and realize that although they might have advantages in some places, they give things up in others, and be prepared to play accordingly.
I mean, and I realize we've talked about this before at length, but this is kind of a strength of your team. You can play different styles of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we physically can match up with different things defensively. I mean, I think we're still going to be able to guard and be hard to score on. I mean, really, our issue when we've been in trouble has been making shots and finding ways to score enough. So I feel good that we'll still be able to guard. However, you know, you take out someone like Luke who's able to draw their big players away from the basket. You know, maybe that does give us a little bit of opportunity with a guard to do the same thing. And, I don't want to say like West Texas is a one-off because, they don't really play any true big men.
Right.
Right. So it was a little bit easier to kind of mask.
Big guys are like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah. And they have one big guy, 6'8", Jesse Owese, but he only played 12 minutes.
Right.
So it's going to be different at Eastern. And, we'll have some things prepared, whether he's going to play or not. We'll be prepared in either situation. But I'm just looking forward to it nonetheless. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. They're undefeated at home.
They've got an 11-game home winning streak dating back to last year. They're 10-0 at home this year.
Correct. Yeah.
So what makes them so good at their place?
Well, they actually have a really, really good student section. Their crowd gets loud. And then also, I do think that there's something to being a little bit of a geographic outlier in the conference. It just makes the trip a little bit more cumbersome for everybody going in there. And, as a result, it makes for a great home court advantage.
So is this the toughest road trip in the Lone Star Conference going out?
Well,
because it used to be, as you mentioned just a moment ago, last year you went to Lubbock and Portales.
Correct.
That seems like a really doable trip.
Yeah, it was.
Now you're going Portales to Silver City.
Yeah, it's a very challenging road trip. There's no way to sugarcoat this one. It is going to be difficult. There's a lot of travel involved, but with the 16 teams last year we had 17, so the travel partners were different.
Right.
But this year, just the way it works out. Hey, so be it. We still have to play the games.
There's no doubt about that. I probably shouldn't just run past last Thursday night when you played Lubbock Christian. Mm-hmm. You had beaten them in Lubbock. I think a lot of people were hopeful that you could get a season sweep. But they're a tough team. They came in here and got you 71-61.
Yeah.
What was the difference between the two games, the game in Lubbock and the game here on Thursday?
Back to making shots. I mean, we were able to make just a few more shots at Lubbock Christian and make them miss a few more times. And, as I said, on the broadcast after the game, Russell Harrison went 7 for 9. I mean, his last last three was a bank three from the top of the key. You know, Rowan McKenzie, he makes a step back, one-footed three at the end of the shot clock. And we missed numerous layups and wide open three-point attempts. And then we gave away, I think we missed seven free throws, like in a key stretch. And against a good team, you just can't miss opportunities to put the ball in the basket. And that was the difference. Looking back on the film, we defended well. We got to our spots offensively. You know, I mean, you force a guy off balance, leaning away, and he takes a one-footed three-pointer, and he nets it. It's like, you know, at some point you just have to tip your cap and understand that wasn't our night. But I wasn't disappointed with how we played on Thursday. I thought we actually defended really, really well, and we carried that into Saturday, and we frustrated West Texas. So the result is not at all what we wanted on Thursday night. However, it wasn't a negative performance per se.
I got a chance to talk to Pierre after the game on Saturday, and I asked him about the team's confidence. He said the team's never really wavered in terms of confidence. And he flat out said something you talked about in one of the podcasts. He says, it's our preparation.
Yeah.
When we prepare well, we play well. When we don't prepare well, we're not playing well, which was a really mature answer, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every coach preaches process, right? And I just think that consistency that you get from taking every day, every workout, the best that you possibly can, is the best way to prepare yourself for success when the ball tips up and the lights go on. And Pierre is, he is a mature young man. He's bought in. He's going to do everything that's asked of him every single day, and he's not going to waste opportunities to get better. And, you know, we need him to continue stepping up and leading this team, because they will follow him as he moves forward.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to score 36 every night, but are you looking at him to be more of a scorer, to improve that scoring average? And not that it's bad, but...
Well, what we're looking for him is he just has to put pressure on the defense. As a point guard, it's about decisions, right? And the way teams have decided to play us, they're forcing us to make plays in the middle of the floor. And, well, if you're going to force us to make plays in the middle of the floor, that's going to put the ball in Pierre Sanders' hands a lot. And he has to decide, is it his shot or is it a kick to someone else? And so, you know, when the play dictates him to go out there and be aggressive and look for himself. I mean, I have all the confidence in the world and want him to know that.
So it just seems to me, based on what you just said, after Saturday, you're going to start seeing a difference in the way teams approach you.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, that's just a layman's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. At this stage of the season, a lot of teams are who they are, all right? It's kind of hard to – all of a sudden just change who you are and how you guard. Like West Texas, for example. Okay. They're sitting there coming into that game at 11-1 in conference play. Why would they come into Saturday's game looking to do something different?
Right.
Okay. And so in that situation, you can utilize that to your advantage, knowing that this is how they're going to cover it. Similarly, going into like our next rounds of games, you know, you have to ask yourself, can teams change how they're covering, what these schemes are? Okay. Some teams are going to be able to make adjustments and others aren't. They're just going to have to be who they are, whether it's personnel driven with limitations that they have, or you know what, there are certain coaches and teams that they just know that if they try and do something different, it'll probably be a lot worse than what they have, right? Their teams don't have that ability to adapt. So there are a couple teams coming up on the schedule where, we have to be prepared for, you know, contingencies of different looks that they may have. But then there are others where you can pretty much, you know, bet the house on the fact that you know what you're going to get going into it. And so I actually do believe that we're going to continue to see more opportunities for Pierre in the middle of the floor because part of why teams are doing that is to account for Jermaine Carter.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, we saw Pierre, once he gets into the paint, he just has this unbelievable body control, and he's able to kind of slither between defenders and get to the basket. He's he really is a remarkable player at times.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's a great athlete, and as he continues to mature and see more things, you know, he asks good questions. He wants to learn, and in doing that, now he has kind of enough experiences and a frame of reference where he can recall those things to take advantage of the different scenarios that he finds himself in over the course of a game.
I mean, you're getting a dividend for all that playing time you gave him as a freshman right now, aren't you?
That's exactly right.
And I don't want to run past what you just said, because the better he plays, the better that is for Jermaine Carter.
There's no question. Teams have really been keying in on Jermaine all year. No surprise. I would too. However, as other guys emerge and start performing a little bit more consistently on the offensive side, that allows him. I mean, he had a quiet game on Saturday, and you look down and he had 21 points.
Yeah.
Right? And that's
a lot of that came in the second half.
Yep. And that was because, you know, he was patient. He let it come and read the game. And, you know, as a result, he did what good players do. They find their spots.
He also got a couple of slam dunks in that game. Is that good for Jermaine? It's got to feel good.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what that feels like, but it's got to feel good to do it in a game.
Well, it's been a long time since I was in that position. But, like, I tell him, like, you know, go for it. It is such a huge emotional boost for the player involved, but also for the team. I mean, and it was really, really fun to watch him go out there and just finish that game strong and kind of get that exclamation point at the end.
It was really fun at the end when he had time on the launching pad to figure out which dunk am I going to go for here. And yep. He went with the reverse slam, which I think is one of his favorites.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking afterwards, you know, he was a little tired, you know, in debating the physics of slam dunks, but the reverse is actually probably the safest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because your natural inclination when you do a reverse is to pull straight down, which brings the ball straight through the hoop, as opposed to when you dunk it forward, you kind of throw it towards the back of the rim.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so, like,
and you do see guys miss dunks
correct.
That way.
They'll throw it off the back rim, yeah. And it'll go back up. And so,
in fact, I think on this homestand we saw an opponent miss a dunk like that.
Yeah. Yep, and then we had Marquise where he about brought the house down when he went over that guy.
Yeah, I think he left the ground just a little too soon, maybe.
Yep,
but
yep.
He was really close to throwing that one down.
Yep. It would have brought the house down for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So it was a fun day. We just need more of those.
You got that right.
We've talked a lot about Eastern, but let's talk a little bit about Western New Mexico, because I was just looking at their game against Angelo State, and they darn near beat Angelo State.
Yes. Western New Mexico is good. All right. I mean, they've been kind of a hard luck team in Lone Star play.
I was going to say, by the way, you say that their record's 5-9, 11-9 in conference. They're kind of in the same boat you're in.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know you think you're a good team.
Yep. No, well, I mean, from the last time we played them, I mean, we played probably as good a half as we played all year that first half. I think we were up 37-17. And I'm sure folks were thinking, oh, they're terrible, or we've got this game well in hand. And, you know, I'm in there at halftime going, oh, Lord, this is terrifying, because they're a team that has consistently got down this year.
I remember you telling me this in the postgame show.
And, I mean, they were down at the 10-minute mark against UTPB 15 points. And they came back and won that game by 5, right? So they are very, very capable of drastic swings of the score. You know, highly emotional team, you know, and so when they get the ball rolling and things are going in a positive direction for them, they're very hard to stop. They've got some very streaky shooters, guys who can, you know, score in bunches. They've got athleticism. They've got good size. And so, you know, if you get off balance or your rhythm's not right, you know, you're in for a world of hurt against Western New Mexico.
Expound on what you just said about being an emotional team. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you've seen it probably, you know, over and over throughout your career, but there's a 50-50 ball or kind of a foul call that goes in their favor, or a basket, a tough shot goes in, and all of a sudden you can just feel the temperature in the room change. You know, their kind of shoulders go back and their energy level perks up, and poof, you know, they just go on a 7-0 run or 10-2, something like that, make a couple shots. Conversely, we saw it in that first game when they were kind of searching, trying to find ways to score against us. they just did not go back and defend, and they allowed us to score pretty easily. Right. So they're just subject to those swings in the flow of the game, maybe a little bit more than other teams are. And I think that's really the only reason why their record is what it is. It's not because they're not capable. It's not because they don't have really good players and they run good stuff. It's more just been a matter of kind of hitting those flat spots and inconsistencies throughout the course of the 40 minutes.
So I wanted to follow up on that and ask you if you thought Midwestern State was an emotional team.
No, I mean, honestly, no. I mean, for us, I think, unfortunately, we've been too consistent throughout with, you know, when we start off bad, I mean, you know, it stuck with us too long, right? Now we've had
it's like getting some on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah, I mean for us, I think we've consistently guarded. Our swings have been on the offensive end this year more than the defensive end. All right, like a team like Western New Mexico, I think our offense and defense has been a little bit less consistent. I mean our defense has been pretty consistent this year. I feel pretty good about that. For us, it's been, you know, energy on the offensive end and shot making. I think that's been more of the concern rather than just the overall emotion of the group.
You talk about your defense, and a few minutes ago you were talking about teams making adjustments. It seems like you're able to make adjustments.
Yeah, now that we're far enough into the season, you know, guys have seen a lot of stuff. All right, they've had the opportunity to see different schemes, different game plans, and so both from our opponents and then that we've had to do, and so we're able to kind of tweak things on the fly a little bit better, make some adjustments based off of what teams are doing in the game, and I think that goes back to, you know, we have a core group on the team that is pretty experienced and savvy on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's enabled us to, you know, to be good game to game. We still have a long way to go, but I certainly think that we really have the chance, you know, to continue to be a good defensive team to close this season out.
And you're holding teams to 42% shooting, which is second best in the Lone Star Conference right now, and more nights than not, you're holding teams below their average,
correct,
whatever that might be.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the goal is every chance we get is we want to affect their shot. All right. We want them to be put in an uncomfortable position. We don't want teams dictating to us, you know, how they're going to score. We want to funnel them to the areas where we think they're going to be less efficient against us, and that collective buy-in and you know, goal for our program isn't going to waver. I mean, we have to stay locked into those principles, and over the course of, you know, a 40-minute game, if we do that, now we just got to go score 70 points, and we're going to be okay.
I thought we were going to score 90, Coach.
Wow. Again, we score 90. Yeah, that's great.
Well, if you score 70, you should be good because you're holding teams to, what, 67 points a game, yep, and that's been steadily coming down.
Correct.
So who are, in both of these stops, who are some of the guys that you've got to slow down? Let's start with Eastern. Who are some of the guys that you've got to slow down on Thursday in order to beat this team?
Well, I mean, Eastern, their leading scorer is Ja'Cory Ely. I mean, he's kind of one of those tweener guard wings. You know, he's 6'6", maybe 6'7", really, really long. He'll defend point guards, but then he'll go down and he'll mix it up around the basket, gets to the free throw line a ton. I mean, in conference play, he shot 92 free throws. So slowing him down is going to be a big key for us. And then I would say, collectively, their front line, you know, Greg Johnson, Jose Murillo, those guys put a lot of pressure on you with just their physicality around the rim. They're always crashing. They're always looking to make aggressive moves around the basket. And as a result, they get to the free throw line a lot, and they shoot a lot of high percentage shots.
They shoot nearly 25 free throws a game, which is, I think, second in the conference.
By far the most physical team in the conference. You know, they put a lot of pressure on your defense.
We saw that firsthand here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a laughable how physical that game was. You know, and hey, we just have to go out and just meet that physicality with poise and toughness and just let the chips fall where they may.
Does it make it better than the fact that you've already seen them and that you might expect that kind of physical game? Though sure. I suspect the game's going to be officiated completely differently.
Well,
I don't know that for sure, but I would bet.
I'm not going to make any assumptions on how that's going to go. However,
nor should you.
They are just going to continue to put a lot of pressure on you to go out there and be tough. All right, they're not going to waver with how they play, because it's not something that Coach Owen is making them do. It's who they are, right? Like, you look at their front court, their guards. I mean, all of them. They're just physical players by nature. Like, you know, most teams will have like a couple guys that are more physical and just lean on you, and you're always pushing and just kind of always there. They have about eight of them. Right. And they always have at least four of them on the floor. So it just is going to inherently be that type of game every time they step out on the floor. And, you know, to their credit, that's part of their identity. That's what's helping them win games. And they're not going to deviate from it.
It seems like with Western, it's a little harder to pick one guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this goes back to what I was saying about them being a little bit inconsistent, because if you go game by game for them, you know, they only have one guy averaging double figures in conference play. Okay. And so, but you get about 7-8 players down their roster, and they've all led the team in scoring in conference play at some point. So with them, you don't always know who it's going to be that's going to score the most points against you. Right. So for us, what we have to just focus on is just not making, you know, any tragic mistakes, you know, no silly gambles. Or, you know, a common theme that happens too with, you know, as I'm watching Western, you know, you've got a couple guys that are a little bit farther down their averages in that kind of 6-7-8 range.
Right.
You see some games where they just don't get guarded when they get in the game. Well, oh, that guy only averages 6 points a game. I'm not going to respect him like the guy who averages 10 to 12. Well, and then he makes his first shot because it's a wide open, easier look that hasn't been affected by quality defense. Well, now next thing you know, that kid who, you know, averages 6, scored 2 in the last game, goes for 14, right? And so that's another piece of guarding Western New Mexico throughout, is not taking any plays off or any guys for granted, because at any moment it could change. I mean, the last time we played them, you know, they had a couple guys come off the bench who hadn't done anything, that in that run when they tried to close it down at the end, came in and just made some big threes. And it's like, oh, well, who were they? Well, they're college basketball players. They're on the floor. You better respect them.
I just kind of want to go quickly around the conference and pick out a couple of games that are going to be played this weekend and just get your quick thoughts on them, particularly games involving teams in the LSC West. Angelo State and Lubbock Christian are meeting, and if I wasn't watching Midwestern State play Eastern New Mexico, that might be a game I'd want to see. That could be a really interesting game.
Yeah, no, it should be. It definitely should be. I mean, you look at all the games that have been happening in the LSC West. I mean, just take the last two that the New Mexico schools played against Angelo and UTPB. They were all very close games. I mean, Angelo won by 1 point against Western and by 2 points against Eastern. UTPB beat Western by 2 and Eastern by 4 or 5. They're all close games. I mean, these are good teams in our division, and you know, true road trips where you have to go play quality opponents. And that game you just mentioned, I mean, Angelo and Lubbock, I'm sure will be fantastic. But you know, don't forget UTPB and West Texas. West Texas.
They're playing in Canyon, so yep. I think you got to favor West Texas. But this is a Permian Basin team that's hard to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been another team that, you know, obviously we'll play them at home next week. They can score in bunches. They really can, you know. And you know, I actually spoke with Coach Tolan yesterday. I mean, we stay in contact. And, you know, they're still working hard. They're down in the standings, but they're not giving up on anything. They're going to continue to strategize and game plan and do everything they can to go out there and be successful. And if they play Thursday against West Texas like they did against Eastern New Mexico, they're in good shape.
And they beat Eastern on Saturday 74-72.
Yep.
And then coming up Saturday, another great game in Canyon because Angelo State will be there to play West Texas.
Yep, yep. Well, and those are great games, great for the fans. But, you know, I mean, for myself, the games that I'm watching more are those teams that are around us in the overall standings.
And we talked a little bit about this in the post-game show. But so if you're a Midwestern State fan, who do you need to be keeping your eye on? St. Mary's. Eastern New Mexico, Dallas Baptist. And by the way, not that we've undersold it at all, but maybe we have. This is a huge game in terms of the standings you've got with Eastern New Mexico.
That's exactly right. I mean, the season sweep against them would give us the tiebreaker. You know, we have the tiebreaker against St. Mary's. However, you know, we need them to drop a game. You know, they've got a lot of tough games in front of them, as does DBU, Texas A&M International. I mean, this is quite the tight race there for the final, you know, three spots in the conference tournament, and we need to do everything we can to go out and steal wins on the road wherever we can.
Well, and I mean, this isn't a big secret, but you've got to improve your road record, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah, no, we have to go out and we have to find a way to get wins on the road, because you look right now. We have three home games and four road games left.
Right.
And so, you know, not taking care of business in a couple close games earlier on. Now this puts us in a place where we have to go out and we have to make our own luck, so to speak, and put ourselves in the best possible situation for qualifying for the tournament.
Yeah, just for people who maybe not be as familiar with the standings right now, St. Mary's is sitting at 8-6, Eastern New Mexico 7-7, Dallas Baptist 7-7. Midwestern's at 7-8. You do have a decent cushion on the teams behind you. Mm-hmm. A&M International's at 5-9, along with Western and UT Tyler. But it takes us to Silver City. It'd be good to beat them and keep pushing them back a little further down the hill. So, Dallas Baptist, Eastern New Mexico, St. Mary's are really the games you're keeping an eye on.
That's exactly right.
But if Midwestern State takes care of its own business, you don't have to really do a lot of scoreboard watching, do you?
That's always the goal.
Well, hopefully it starts in Portales against Eastern New Mexico on Saturday. Remember, that game is going to be an hour later here in the Central Time region. That'll be an 8:30 start here, and we hope you'll join us on the Lone Star Conference Digital Network if you're unable to make the trip to Portales. And then Silver City will be Saturday afternoon, as Midwestern State takes on Western New Mexico. We're into February, so every game's important, but it seems like they gain in importance as we flip the calendar over to February.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's that key stretch of the season, and looking forward to going out and competing and, you know, just being in the fight for this last month.
That's Justin Leslie, the head coach at Midwestern State University. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the Stein Gang Podcast.